My name is James Sagerton. This is the February 6, 2024 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum, and I'm going to ask the Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to take the roll. R. Paul?
Okay. Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen.
Allen is present.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Kamau Harris.
I'm here.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Christina Huggins.
Here.
Kim Kaufman. R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden.
Here.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here. Thank you.
Okay, that's nine, and you have a quorum. And now I am going to ask the directors to please identify themselves.
Taylor Reason, director from KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. Did you hear
Susan
me?
Susan Young.
Yes, we heard you, Milo. Director. Thank you. Go ahead, Susan.
Susan Young, director from KPFT.
Another one, I think, right?
Is that Kim Kaufman?
There's another. I thought there were three.
I think Minerva Sanders was expected, and Darlene Pagano, excuse me, was expected.
Right now, we only have Milo Rezin and Susan Young, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay. Excuse me.
Sorry to interrupt.
So, yeah. Milo? Well, Teresa's a member of the committee. That was the roll call. Okay. Let's go on with the business. So we have convened the meeting. We've done the roll call. Now we're going to adopt the agenda. I will read the agenda for that purpose. The agenda is number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, minutes for 5 minutes. Number six, set next meeting date. Motion, add to the call of the February 17th, 2024 meeting. Part of the meeting may be an executive session. Number seven, review the end of year consolidated monthly statements for the 12 months ending September 30, 2023. That's a 30-minute item. Number eight, report from the executive director with Q&A. That's a 20-minute item. Number nine, updates from the national office and WPFW on when the NFC may expect to receive their budgets. That's a 5-minute item. Number 10, move into executive session. That's a 5-minute item. And finally, 11, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. And is there any discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda?
I'm sorry, I have a quick question, Christina, here.
Go ahead, Christina.
I was a little confused. What meeting is the February 17th, 2024 meeting?
That's the next scheduled meeting for the NFC. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say 17th? It's 13th. It's the 13th.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So there's sorry, no meeting you. On the Good 17th, catch. Right?
Correct. Good catch. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, R. Paul, that's wrong in the agenda. You can make sure you
catch
that.
Yeah, I'm fixing
it. Thank you. Very good. Okay, so I'll ask again. Was there any objection to the adoption of the agenda? Hearing none, we'll say that the agenda is adopted. Chair, this brings us to chair's announcements. This is brief. Tonight, we will review the end-of-year consolidated monthly income statement for the 12 months ending September 30, 2023. Also, tonight, we will have a regular report from the Executive Director, Stephanie Wells. Please look at any documents posted by the National Finance Committee Secretary, R. Paul Martin, on the NFC list. There are no other new announcements. I'm going to read this old announcement for the benefit of the people that are the directors that are here. The monthly Pacifica financials and other materials are simultaneously copied to the NFC, the PNB officers, and the unit managers. Please review them as they become available and be ready to discuss and ask questions. The financials may be released publicly after the NFC completes its review, and that's per PNB resolution. All right, that's the chair's announcements. Now, Arpal, I don't know that we have any public minutes, do we?
No, we do not.
I did not think so. So that brings us to item number 6. This is set the next meeting date, and this is a motion to add to the call of the meeting for the February 13th, 2024 meeting, quote, part of the meeting may be in executive session, unquote. Is there any discussion?
Hold on a minute.
Okay, take your time.
Okay, that's a motion on top of things. So,
yep,
okay, that's a motion you've put in there. All right, let me even see if I can read that fast. So the motion is to add to the call of the February 13th, 2024 meeting. Part of the meeting may be an executive session. That's it, right?
Correct. Yep. Okay. Is there any discussion of that?
Teresa for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Are we expecting that the newly elected directors will be on this, on that call on the 13th? I can't remember off the top of my head when the ballots are due back for.
I believe the ballots are due back at midnight on the 13th. So there will be one more meeting of this iteration of the National Finance Committee. That'll be the last one.
And what do you expect to have on the agenda for that meeting?
We have the KPFA budget among the regular normal business that we have and anything else that may come up in the meantime. I don't think we'll finish the KPFA budget, so that'll probably go on into the future. But Maria Negrette had said that she could present on that day, and so that's what's on the agenda for that one. Is there any other discussion of the motion? Part of the meeting may be in executive session.
You know, Matt, Mr. Chair, I'm going to move that we discuss the KPFA budget on the 27th, as I suggested last month. And the reason is we have new directors that won't be seated until after that meeting, about, you know, 3 hours after that meeting. So, and if it's not passed on the 13th, then it'll go to the 27th where they start all over again, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't just move it to the 27th so the new directors can review that budget.
I don't actually know how the committee members will be seated a few hours later. I think they have to be seated at the next meeting, which is scheduled for the 27th.
The 15th. No, the next meeting is the 15th.
Pacific we have a meeting on the 13th, and we have a meeting. No, I'm talking about the committee members that are being elected now. They will be seated at the next NFC meeting, which will be February 27th.
Right.
Beth, to the stack.
Hold on, Beth. Let me finish here. Thank you.
The people for the committees will be seated, will be acknowledged on the 15th, so they would be the new members of the Finance Committee. So there's a chance that that the budget will be presented on the 13th, but will not be approved. And then you have, so because we're kind of lame duck here on the 13th, if it's not approved, the new finance members would be coming in on the 27th to finish up the business that was started on the 13th. And I'm wondering why we're not just discussing it on the 27th, as I had suggested last week. Thank you.
Right. Well, I will make a couple of responses to that. One is it's not unusual. In fact, it's more normal than not that we approve budgets in one meeting. So that's not unusual. And this is old business, really. This is a budget that, you know, should have been dealt with, as all the budgets should have been dealt with, prior to October 1st and the beginning of the new fiscal year. So we're just proceeding in our normal course of business, trying to get as much done as possible. And that is basically what we've been deciding all along.
Mr. Chair, may I get the wording of this motion?
Yes.
The wording in the motion is that we postpone the...
Hold on, please. Discussion. Hello. He asked the chair. Just relax.
Okay. Sorry.
The motion is add to the call of the February 13th, 2024 meeting. So
I got
part
that.
Of the meeting, part of the meeting
that.
May be an executive session. Oh, okay.
But there's what something else here about the 27th. I'm not sure.
To the stack.
I'm not sure.
Hold on,
that, all right, everybody else. I'm not sure that. Okay, the motion is on February 13th. So I guess this is an amendment the person is trying to make.
To the stack on this item, please.
Okay,
please
let me get the wording, please.
Yes, we're trying to
work
with the secretary to get the wording.
It sounds like there's an amendment being made to your motion, and I'd like to get the wording to that.
Okay. I just want to say that I'm not sure that the amendment is germane to this motion, which is merely to say that part of the meeting on the 17th may be an executive session. I think that's a standalone motion. I mean, she could say, well, no, it shouldn't be part of the meeting, shouldn't be an executive session, but doesn't seem germane to this motion to bring in something about when something should be considered. I believe we had this argument last week about today's meeting, and I thought we had sorted that out. So can we just solve this initial question? And I'm going to ask if there's any further discussion of this motion about part of the meeting on the 17th being an executive session. Is there any further discussion of that? Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's done. And now, I'm going to ask Teresa if she is trying to make a different motion now, which is not on the agenda. And so this would be a motion you're making from the floor to add something to the agenda. And right now we're about to go to item 7 on the agenda, end of the year consolidated monthly statement. So, Paul, I guess if we were going to take an addition to the agenda from Teresa, we would then put it at the end of the agenda. If we vote favorably on it, and I believe it would take a 2/3 vote, is that correct?
Well, okay. If she wants to make a motion to amend the agenda, she can say where she wants to put her new item.
Good
and for
point.
How long.
Point of
order. All right. Okay, Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. We've had this conversation. This committee decided at the last meeting when and where to hear this, the budget. Each side of the debate had the opportunity to present their reasoning then. To revisit that process at this point is dilatory. In fact, the chair has moved ahead to make arrangements with the management of KPFA to present at next meeting. And that plan has been confirmed. I still can't see any reason that this iteration of this committee should abdicate any part of our responsibilities before we're replaced. I don't think that because this question was already settled at the last meeting, I think that raising it again is dilatory. Thank you.
All right, that is your point of order, and I'm going to have to rule that your point of order is not well taken because it is always permissible at a future meeting to revive a previously defeated motion. It's not dilatory if it's just done in that fashion. So I'm afraid your motion is, your point of order is not well taken. So, Teresa, did you want to make that motion?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'd like to hear what some other people think. We spent, about a half an hour at the last meeting going over this back and forth before it came to a vote. And I just would like to respond to one thing that you said, Mr. Chair, that we were just doing business as usual. But we have just come, this is a second special meeting. We had a special meeting last week and a special meeting tonight. So if there is support for this, then I would like to consider the possibility of moving that and maybe even to the possibility of not meeting next week. I'd like to hear what the other members of the committee say in addition to Beth Von Gutten. Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, R. Paul.
Now this sounds dilatory and out of order. We have an agenda, and if somebody wants to change the agenda, they need to make a motion to change the agenda.
My motion is to discuss.
Teresa, slow down. Teresa, slow down. You haven't been recognized, and it's not appropriate to argue directly.
Will not be recognized because he's misinterpreting words.
Teresa, please suspend. It's not appropriate to argue directly with R. Paul, and I don't believe R. Paul was finished with what he was saying. Go ahead, R. Paul.
No, that's it. We can't start discussing a motion that isn't there, that isn't germane to anything on the agenda at this point in time. So if the member wants to make her motion to change the agenda, she needs to do it first. And then it's not debatable.
Right. So was that a point of order, R. Paul?
May I be recognized,
yes,
Mr. Chair?
Not yet, Teresa. Was that a point of order, R. Paul?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. I find it, R. Paul's point of order is well taken. Teresa, now you're recognized.
Now, I appeal the decision of the chair.
Okay.
But you know what? I really, really don't want to have to tie up the whole meeting in this parliamentary minutia. But the issue is, my motion is, that we not discuss, because we mentioned that at our next
point of order, Mr. Chair, is there an appeal on the floor or not?
Yeah.
If there is, the chair goes first to explain his ruling.
Okay.
All right. So, are you officially appealing the rule of the chair, Teresa?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, the ruling was that you are
dilatory.
No. The ruling of the chair was that you were off. You were wanting to have discussion of this notion about when we should do things prior to a motion being on the floor. A motion has to be on the floor to have that kind of discussion. You can't just go off into general discussions that take you away from the agenda of the meeting. So you are proposing a change in the agenda. So to do that, you have to make a motion. And to make that motion, then we will go into discussion. So that's why this is out of order. So
I'm ready to make my motion.
If you're ready to you made a point of order. So now we have to deal with that. So I've stated my point. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Now, excuse me. This is Christina. I had asked to be on stack.
Christina, you're not recognized. Christina, please suspend. You're not recognized, Christina. R. Paul was recognized. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. Here's the thing. When the person makes the motion to change the agenda, it's not debatable. So let's remember that. Two, each Each member gets to speak once on this, and at the end of it, the chair gets a second try speech on this if he pleases. And I'll just say this. Yes, it's not a parliamentary folderol or something. We need to keep some sort of order. So the way you do it is you make a motion and then you debate it. You don't start talking about it. Plus, you can't debate this motion. So I would suggest that we uphold the ruling of the chair and then allow the member to make a motion to change the agenda and deal with it properly. That's it. Thank you.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Are we saying that I can't make a motion to change the agenda for the upcoming meeting? That's what I want to talk about. The agenda for next week.
No, there is no agenda for the upcoming meeting. We don't have an agenda yet. That won't be out till next week. This is about changing the agenda of this meeting. You wanted to make a motion which would change the agenda because it wasn't presented prior to the meeting or when the agenda was being approved. So now you're changing the agenda of the meeting, and you have to do that by making a motion. So our poll is asking you to make a motion if you want to go through with this, because then you're going to need 2/3 to actually affect the change in the agenda.
Well, okay. Well, Mr. Chair, I believe you're wrong. I think that I can suggest that I don't have to wait before 2 hours before the next meeting
Teresa, can you suspend, please? I believe the way that our Paul just explained the parliamentary procedure is that this is not debatable.
I'm not talking about tonight's agenda. I'm talking about next week's agenda.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. We have an appeal of the ruling of the chair on the floor. That's the only thing we can debate right now. Upholding the chair's ruling or not. Then we can get on to the other stuff. Please. Thank you.
And I believe you said, Paul, which surprised me a little bit, everybody gets to say something about it, or do we take one from one side and one from the other side?
No.
And then
everybody gets all the other members get to speak once. The chair gets to speak twice, once at the start, once at the end, and then that's it, and we go to a vote.
Okay, so Teresa has spoken. Who else would like to speak?
Beth to the staff, Christina.
We've got Beth, Christina, anybody else?
I actually had asked to speak a long time ago, and I would object to being ignored before Beth ever spoke the last time. As soon as Teresa made her motion, I asked to be on staff.
Actually, what happened, Christina, is at that time you broke in and you were unrecognized and you shouldn't have been speaking, and you just did it again. So I'm going
to
ask you to please request. You're doing it again. Please request to be recognized before you speak. I've got you on the stack after Beth. Is there anybody else who would like to be on the stack? Hearing none. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Am I unmuted? Yes, I am. So the February 13th is a regular NFC meeting. It's not a special meeting. It's a regular meeting. Reviewing budget is the routine business of this committee. We've waited months to review the KPFA budget. The arrangements have already been made. Confirmation of presentation has been made. The 2024 NFC will have a full year to review this and any other budgets, as is their mandate. They're supposed to be reviewed quarterly anyway. So they're reviewing the budget next week for this iteration of the committee to review the budget next week on the 13th doesn't preclude the next iteration of the committee from reviewing it at any point they want. So I don't see anything to prevent us from moving ahead with the plan as has already been agreed to. And this still seems dilatory to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Go ahead, Christina.
Yes. I would say that I didn't hear anybody else saying, I want to be recognized here. They said so many for the stack, which is what I said. So I'm just going to make that quick point. And I should have been recognized before. I believe that at the beginning of this whole conversation, the chair himself said we probably won't get through the whole thing at the next meeting. It took us three meetings on WBAI to get through questions and answers about the particular budget that we were reviewing. And it makes more sense for continuity that they would be the same people reviewing it and not change horses in the middle of the stream, as the proverbial saying goes. So I'm not quite sure at this point what the motion is. I mean, I would think the motion would be possibly not a part of the agenda, but part after, because the agenda, if it's a meeting you still want to meet, or unless the motion is to cancel the next meeting so that we can wait and review the KPFA budget with continuity with people that have been there and not have a bunch of people gone and new people come in who've missed the beginning of the presentation. That makes sense to me. So thank you.
Thank you, Christina. So I will speak now last on this. I will first say that the review of the WBAI budget taking three meetings, it was highly unusual. Every other budget we've done in one meeting, almost universally. I imagine there's been times when it took longer, but the standard is one meeting, one budget. So the WBAI situation was unique. And it's my understanding that the KPFA budget was done in a very orderly manner. It's professionally crafted. And so I don't think that there will be any of the issues that we had with the WBAI budget. And so I hope that everyone would support the ruling of the chair that God, no, I don't even remember what the ruling of the chair was.
What rule did I break? Your
ruling, Mr. if I may.
Yes.
The ruling is that the member has to make a motion.
To make a motion, correct.
To make a motion to amend the agenda and not have people talking about amending the agenda and then make a motion. So
correct.
There's that.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mr. Secretary. So,
and point of information, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Go ahead.
So if I'm not allowed to make that motion, when do I get to make that motion about the next meeting?
Well, you can, what the motion that you have to make is to amend the agenda. And that's what we're in the middle of. We're about to be in the middle of doing. So you cannot make a motion about the next meeting. You can make a motion about this meeting. Do you want to amend the agenda to talk about?
I never expected to change the agenda of this meeting.
But that's what you're doing. Hold on. Teresa, you were recognized for a question. Your question was, when can you get to do that? The answer is, if you want to start anything new in this agenda, you have to make a motion to change the agenda. That's what the objection was to, and that's what we need to go and vote on as to whether or not you can continue to go on discussing this and having this back and forth without having a motion on the floor to change the agenda. So that's what we need to be doing now. Did you get
that? Order, Mr. Chair, we now need to go to a vote on the appeal, okay?
Yes, that's
okay. The motion is to appeal the ruling of the chair, which is that the member would need to make a motion at this time to amend the agenda, okay? And not discuss it without having a motion. But you can't discuss it anyway, even
but
after you make the motion.
Make
so,
motion.
That's the appeal. All right. The motion becomes: Shall the chair's ruling be upheld? Yes means you want to uphold the chair's ruling. No means you don't want to uphold the chair's ruling. Please answer up when you hear your name, Teresa Allen.
Could I hear my motion that we're saying is out of order?
You didn't make
no,
one.
No, not now, Teresa.
That's not what's
vote.
Happening.
Right now,
please
we're
vote
voting.
Yes or no or abstain.
I guess. No, I say no. I'm opposed to what the chair.
Lyndon Foley. Lyndon Foley.
Yes. You don't have to yell at me. I said yes.
I'm not. I'm. Pardon me. Kamal Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt. Christina Huggins.
We can't
abstain.
Hear you.
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman. R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Okay. Julie Hewitt. Kim Kaufman. Oh, Julie Hewitt is here?
She was.
I said yes.
Okay. Okay. 7-4, 1 against, 1 abstention. Chair's ruling is upheld.
Okay. The question now, Teresa, is would you like to make a motion? I'm going to give you the floor to make a motion if you wish.
First of all, my sincerest apologies to this committee for the extraordinary amount of confusion over this last attempt for me to say I would like to move that we not discuss the KPFA budget until the 27th of this month.
Okay, so that's your motion to put on the floor.
That was a motion?
I guess.
Could I hear the motion words again?
I move that we don't that we discuss the KPFA budget on the 27th of February, 2020.
Bell to the staff.
Beth, I'm going to recognize you in a moment, but I just want to ask R. Paul something first. R. Paul, she's making a motion not to to place the discussion of an item at a certain point in time in the future. And I think what she really
it's
needs
out of
to
order.
Be doing is saying, I think she
it's
really
out of
needs
order.
To be saying she
okay.
wants to
if
do
I,
that.
Could
she
I,
wants to have a motion to do that now. Is
may
that
I
correct?
Speak? May I
yes,
speak?
Yes, please. I ask you.
All right.
Please.
This is out of order. What this is doing right here is completely different from what was being stated before. It has no relation to this agenda, I think, does it? Except
no.
that it wants to it could be phrased in a way that's much better. Let's see, where is that on here? What item is that?
It is number 6. I was trying to help her phrase it better.
No.
If
that's,
you want me to wait
okay.
until item 6?
All right, here's
up,
the thing.
Fine.
Here's the thing. You may not put a question beyond the reach of the next regular meeting. That's what this would do. So this has to be out of order.
Okay,
and
so
also,
then,
yeah, so that's out of order. And I don't see KPFA on the I'm not seeing KPFA on the agenda right now. So it can't be to take it off this agenda because it ain't on it.
Point of information.
Yes, I'm gonna
and
hold
since
on.
This
I'm
is
gonna...
since this is out of order, I call for the orders of the day.
All right.
Point of information.
Okay, Teresa, go ahead with the point of information. But wait a minute, hold on. I don't want to get yelled at. R. Paul has called for the orders of the day. R. Paul, explain what that means, please.
I know what that means.
It means that I am moving the agenda. I'm saying let's move to whatever the agenda is on because right now what we're doing is not relevant to the agenda of this meeting at this point in time. We have done number, what is it, 6, and we're going to review the consolidated statement. So I'm calling for us to go to that right now.
I understand, R. Paul, but I want to ask you, I don't think we actually ever voted on number 6. We were trying to get to the vote on number 6. Did we actually do it?
Let me go
check
back and look
yeah.
at.
Thank you.
I think no one.
Okay. Add to the call of the February 13th, 2024 meeting, colon, part of the meeting may be an executive session, unquote, passed without objection. So, I call for
okay,
the orders of the day.
Very good. All right. That brings us to number seven. This is review the end of year consolidated monthly statements for the 12 months ending September 30th, 2023. This is a 30-minute item. We have done some of this before. There were people on the committee who wanted to ask some more questions. Arpol, were you able to get the consolidated forwarded to the committee so it's on the top of the list?
I sent it out at some point here.
Today,
you want to see when I sent it out?
I just want to know if it's near the top of everybody's email list so they can find it.
I have no idea what their email is like. I sent it out at 8:36 Eastern.
Oh, good. So I believe everybody should be able to find it. But we were discussing this at the last meeting, and so I believe some people have some questions that they've been thinking about. At least that's what they told me. So is there any discussion on these consolidated monthly statements?
Linden to the stack.
Okay, I got Linden and McFadden. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Come out of the stack. Yeah.
I heard you come out. Thank you. Anybody else? I don't know what that was, Teresa, but please mute. Anybody else?
Am muted. I'm muting again.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so let's start with that stack, Lyndon.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So last week, I told y'all that I had put together a page for myself so I could see all the costs in a broad sense in one viewing. And I told y'all that WBAI had administrative expenses of 22% of their revenue, and PFW had them of 36% of their revenue. And another thing, and I went and looked at the administrative expenses, and you can see that there were rather large consultant temp contractors, such as for PFW, there was 186,000 for contractors. And of course, these are also office rent of 206,000, which is like 17,500 a month, which is in my opinion, is not sustainable. Now on the, you know, for a unit that has been losing money and they have consultant that line, they didn't decrease it from the year before. They increased it by about $70,000. And they increased their programming expenses by $34,000. That is not the way serious people do business. Now, on WBAI, their consultants are like $164,000. Now, when you look at, in a comparative fashion, you look at the personnel costs, and yeah, KPFA is way above everybody else, like 3 to 4 times larger than K, I, and W. And, but when I went and looked at their numbers, I saw that they lost money, well, like $55,000 in 2023, but I think it was like $500,000 in the previous year in 2022, and after having made money in 2021, I think $700,000 is the number. So they did some things that, you know, that I think serious people do. They increased their revenue by $230,000. They cut their personnel costs by $224,000. They cut programming expenses. They cut development. Overall, they cut $280,000 expenses
and increase revenue by $230,000. Now, when you're in a hole, that's what you do. And I haven't seen that from these from other units. And as I said, that is not how serious people go about their business. Thank you.
Thank you, Lyndon. McFadden. Is Stephanie on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So so I've been looking at the consolidated and especially the year-to-date actuals and trying to compare them to what we've been getting in our budgets that we've been passing. And I guess the first thing, since it's year-to-date actuals through last September, I would expect them to show numbers that were actually used. And in particular, and this is at least for at least three stations that I've checked, what it shows is that everybody's paying their central services, which I don't think is the case. I know from what you've given me for KPFA that we're not paying our central services. I know at K, I don't think they've been paying their central services, and it shows central services in this consolidated. And WBA actuals full, you know, so it kind of like there's numbers in there, but they don't seem to be what I think are the actuals for central services. And then on top of that, I was looking at revenue that appears in for the year ending last September. And for the ones that I've had a chance to kind of compare, like WBAI, they seem to be pretty close to what was given in the budget for that year from WBAI. But for KPFA, they seem to be quite different. The actual numbers from what we've seen in the KPFA budget actuals that appear in the proposed budget for 24. So can you run down why are these numbers so different? And especially regarding central services.
Yeah, the central services section of this budget, whenever this form was originally created, does not make sense at all. And that was an issue even with NEDA, because it's showing like what it should be with the accrued of what the payments should be if they were made. But they are not. So when you go down to the bottom and you have the expenses before central services and then the total net loss. So you have the total net expenses before central services, and then it shows what that loss is. So that whole section, I know in the form that I sent to everybody or the budget format that I sent to every to the National Finance Committee back in September, it listed the it placed the central services in the income line for the archives in the national office and in the expense line for everybody else, I mean, for the stations and for the affiliates. So it's much easier to read. So this was always a section, as I said, even with NEDA, and this isn't a great, you know, this isn't a great excuse, but it doesn't fit. I don't know when this form was filled or made or how, but it just doesn't work. So this entire, it's too complicated. And so the moving forward, this form, it's too complicated to look at, and it needs to be recorded accordingly with revenue, as I said, of the central service revenue for the national office and the archives, and then listed as expenses for everybody else.
Okay, so there's some numbers in this seem to need to be updated, and I guess they ought to be linked. In fact, they don't look like they're just numbers just plugged in there, with, and they aren't linked between the different spreadsheets like they would be. So
there
if you adjust,
yeah, there was something, and again, I can't explain it. I wish, you know, we had NEDA that could hear to explain it. But I remember even when I first started, Julia Kennard would constantly sort of say, this doesn't pull from where it's supposed to be pulling, and that whole section of central services just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
I've been kind of told we need to stick with this form, but I really don't want to stick with this form anymore. This whole format just doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Okay. So then the other part of my question is that at least when I looked at KPFA's year-to-date actuals for revenues, they also don't match up by significant amounts. I mean, the listener support, I think, is off by maybe 700,000. But then so, you know, in terms of it being hot, overestimated in the consolidated, and the major donors are underestimated by like a half a million. So the numbers in the year-to-date actuals also seem to be quite different than at least what we've been getting from the business managers for KPFA. For WBAI, they're close, and I haven't checked the other ones. So is there also something wrong with the other actuals in this form? Are these just numbers from estimates or something? Or, you know, can you give a rundown on that?
No, the numbers that are plugged in to the consolidateds are coded according to how we get them. Are you saying that they're different from the budgets that like KPFA has submitted?
Exactly.
So they may be coding it differently, just like with WBAI. When we were going over the budget for WBAI, there were quite a few things that were put in listener support, but a lot of the listener support also then should have been put under the sustainers. There wasn't an underwriting line, for example, that is in the consolidated financials for anybody. And so that was added in. WBAA also had grant income from CPB. That's not even an existing, we don't get money, obviously, from CPB. So a lot of the line items that are in, again, this form are outdated and need to be changed. So KPFA probably will have some changes because we're also needing to figure out what is major donor income. And that's something that I'm kind of, you know, hoping that we can work out when the year moves forward, not just with KPFA, but with everybody. You know, is listener support something that's just for a program? Is it, you know, are they pulling out in their budget sustainer income? Is a major donor someone that gives $1,000 per year? So is that, what if somebody gives it as a sustainer, but it's also listener support? You know, so how do we divide up at what point somebody becomes a major donor? Is that a cumulative gift or is it a one-time gift of over $1,000 per year? So there needs to be a consistency across the board with how things are mapped out and how they're plugged into the financials. So all of it is the same. So we know what a listener support means. We know what grant income means. We know what underwriting support means. We know what constitutes a major donor. So I'm sure in the explanation for the KPFA, they'll be able to break down what is listener support, what are sustainers, what's considered major donor income.
Christina for the stack.
Or Paul for stack.
Okay, I'll put myself on the stack as well. And McFadden, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, let someone else ask a question.
Oh, do you want to come back, McFadden?
I'm going to listen to everybody else's questions. If somebody asks the same questions, I would come back.
Thank you for your consideration that way. Okay, and I put myself on the stack after Paul. Okay. Kamal.
All right. Thank you. I have a couple of questions for Stephanie. Were you able to ascertain the number of FTEs that support the $5.3 million in salaries and personnel costs for the year?
I'm sorry, I don't have that, but I'll put it on my list again and move it to the top.
Okay, great. And my second question is, who does the analysis work of this particular financial statement, the consolidated now, not the individual, but the consolidated, and who puts together kind of like what I'm used to is like a closed packet, kind of giving the national offices insights, kind of analysis about what's happening throughout the network. Who takes the consolidated financials, does some analysis work, and then gives us or allows this committee to see the notes about what's happening throughout the network? And if that's not happening, is there an ability to put together a task force, maybe throughout the network, pulling from each station site or whatever, that particular task force that would actually do the drill down work and kind of do the analysis work that's necessary so we didn't get bogged down in these meetings over time trying to do that, that the national office would kind of give us a write-up ahead of time of what they see happening throughout the network, and we can pose our questions based not just on the numbers, but actually some work that's been done. Has that ever been a thought for the national office?
Yes, it would be extremely helpful, and I kind of would hope that that would be what the local station treasurers would be doing in meeting with the general managers and the business managers and even myself when we send these consolidated financials out to the stations, that they take a look at it to see if there are any issues. I would hope that they are also sharing it with their treasurers and their local finance committees, so a lot of these questions can be answered and notes can be made. So when it is presented to the national board, it's not it's more of an overview of what's happening, and then the drill down of what can be changed can be done at a local level, because I want then to be able to, as we review these budgets moving forward, we can say, okay, there's been an increase in, we've decreased the rent here, or we've decreased the number of consultants, or we've moved some of our half-times to part to full-time and gotten rid of some of the part-timers in order to save money in the long run. You know, those are the kind of things that need to be happening with the treasurers and the local finance committees, and then with notes and comments in the budget, which then that is presented to the National Finance Committee so they can get a general overall picture.
So, Chair, is that something that would be presented in a motion here? Or where does that have to originate, if I could ask, to kind of set the ball in motion here for that? Because to me, the value in this is limited because there's somebody working on these financials, and I understand what Stephanie's saying. At the local levels, but to have a document and not really speak to it, kind of ahead of time, feels a little hollow. How would that work?
So, Kamau, that's a matter of the parliamentary procedure and the procedures of the PNB. So basically a motion of that sort could come out of the Finance Committee. And then the Finance Committee would be recommending that the PNB take some sort of action. It could also come out of a local LSB recommending that to the PNB that they take some action along those lines. It can also be brought by an individual director straight to the PNB, going around the committees and the LSBs. So you could work with your local directors. You could try to put it through this committee. I don't think, unless you can pull a rabbit out of your hat, I don't think we're ready to do that here tonight now. But, it can either come from this committee or in any of those other ways. So you can work with your directors. You can go to your LSB and put it through there. You can put it through here. You're going to be on this committee in the next year or so. Yeah, lots of ways.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamau. That was a good question. Appreciate that. Christina.
Yes, I have a quick question for Stephanie and two questions. The first one is, what would it take for you to be able to get you said that you don't really want to use this form. What would it take for you to be able to transition to something that's more understandable and easier to work with, Stephanie?
I don't know, because the budget, when I work on budgets, even when I was working on the budget with some of the stations, we use a completely different format. I mean, even when we look at the WBAI budget that was presented last week or the week before, whenever that was, it's listed the expenses and broke it down on the same level, you know, on the same, it had expenses and then it broke it down into the details of what those expenses were. We had justifications and notes on the side. It was just much easier to read. We did the same thing with the affiliate fix. I worked with them on it. We did the same thing with the archive budget and then also a simplified budget of all of the units back in September and sent that to the National Finance Committee. Everybody's was on one page and it was simplified. So it's just, I don't know where this form came from, and I don't know if this is something we are forced to use. I know that stuff gets fed into this through, you know, when we get numbers, then Markeisha has to input this, and I know it's extremely time-consuming, and she doesn't like it either. So I don't know where this came from, and I don't, you know, if this is something that we have to use because of some system, I would rather not send this out even to everybody because it just it lends to more questions than it needs to be, and then take this and simplify it into a better form. This format is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it seems clumsy and difficult to work with. So hopefully the PNB will take this up as an issue because we should have things that make your job easier, not more difficult. And Markeisha, of course. I did want to point out the statements about KPFA. KPFA, first, it's fully funding its own payroll. It's fully funding PRA and has been all along. And some years ago, the $1 million was owed to KPFA, and it was put into long-term debt and never will come back. So the reason that the central services were not being paid, and they are being paid now, by the way, the other director said that we're not paying central services. We are. As of last month, we started paying half, is because there remains a lot of money owed by Pacifica to KPFA. And that, I would state that although we are one umbrella organization, when I was speaking with a nonprofit corporation attorney who I'd worked with in the past, he said that generally speaking, what happens if one unit is losing money continuously and then other units are functional, that it's the obligation of the overarching network to deal with that issue, to make the one that is losing money all the time to take corrective action on that particular unit. So it's not reasonable to take a fully functional unit or units and make them pay for other units that are continuously failing over many, many years. So I just wanted people to understand that there was a lot of money owed to one unit from other units. So, but we are paying now. KPFA is paying. And I wanted to ask what other stations have received payroll for the $11,000 that's been taken from KPFA monthly for quite a while. I would hope that that would be also attributed to central services, because if we're paying other people's payroll for other stations that aren't able to, and we're fully funding our own payroll, including PRA, what other stations have received the $11,000 monthly stipend that's been taken from KPFA?
All the stations that aren't paying central services have a payroll addition to it. So moving forward, KPFA, since they are paying now central, you know, half of their central services, that will not be charged against them anymore. But there's been extra payroll added to KPFT, WPFW, not KPFT, I'm sorry, KPFA, WPFW, and WBAI. And it's really just covering the payroll costs that are not being met from the national office and also for the archives. Even though that KPFA has been paying their central services to the archives, it isn't covering the cost of the archives. And then any sort of excess that is in the payroll restricted account is being used to pay healthcare benefits and helping us get caught up on some of those items. And they are being credited toward people's central services that are due.
Oh, great. Great to hear. And I just wondered if by the next meeting, since we're going to be meeting again next week, if you could get for us a 3-year base for each station of what they owe for central services, that would be appreciated.
Yes.
Give an overarching view. Thank you, Stephanie. And I know it's hard work that you're doing, so I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. Our Paul.
Okay. So it was mentioned before people talking about the silly, pardon me, the silly looking way that some of this looks on the consolidated, and how the central services don't really work. It looks as if everybody's paying, but not everybody's paying. Is this the old problem we've had for at least the 15 years I know about, where our both our budgets and our consolidateds are a mix of cash and accrual, and the central services fees are accrued, which means that they don't bear a lot of relation to the cash that goes one way or another. Is that what this is? I suspect it is.
Well, there is an issue. We are an accrual-based organization. So that can, you know, it does reflect when people aren't doing their accounting in an accrual basis. But this is just a clunky form. It's just clunky. And the central service section, you know, I don't know if this is something that's 15 years, you know, if that's been a problem. I really don't know. All I know is that it has been an issue of complaint, even when, as I said, NEDA was here. And often when the consolidated financials were sent out from NEDA, they would actually pull out that central service section because it was just unexplainable and it just didn't work.
Yeah, that was it. And it has been going on for 15 years. And frequently, just about everyone who's ever on the NFC steps into a hot, stinking pile of accrual in some of these things that look like they're cash. And so I think that we're still doing that, and people have requested that we do it differently in the past, but we've been told, oh, it has to go this way, and so I guess we're still doing it, and people are still noticing that, you know, things don't work, and that's because you've got your apples and your oranges in your various parts of your spreadsheet, and they don't mix so well. So I think that's a part of what's going on here. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. So I'm next on the stack, and I have a few questions actually. And I wanted to say, yeah, this confusion about what formats we're using, what forms we use, and how things are done, I think it's accumulated over many years, as our Paul just said. And it's resulted in different stations using different charts of account, different stations using different templates for their budgets, and sometimes devolving into some units not using a template at all. They're just kind of listing things on a piece of paper. So we've had different systems of, I said charts of accounts, but we've had different central services formulas, and stations were applying different ones at different all at the same time. So all of this stuff really needs to be sorted out, and it would be a blessing if we could do that. I wanted to ask a specific question, and I think it's maybe partly the same answer. This has just grown over time haphazardly. But when a station – how is this process of when a station doesn't have money to pay central services, and so they don't, or a station that may have central money to pay central services, but they decide that they're going to not pay central services and apply what their arrearage is to loans that they say were owed to them from prior years. How is that all decided? Do the stations themselves decide? I mean, if there's no money to be had, I guess, you know, there's no decision to be made. Central services don't get paid. But in the case of a station deciding to not make central service payments in lieu of, money that was loaned to the national office previously, is that decision made by the management of the station? Is it in conjunction with the national office? Is it, is there a team that's making these decisions and telling management what to do? How does that get done? Or is it just haphazard?
I would assume it's probably a little bit haphazard, because it's haphazard meaning it's different, I'm sure, at each station. I would, hope and again assume that it's the national or the local finance committees and the treasurers that are working with the business managers to make those decisions. That's why we have treasurers at the stations, that they can assist you know, and that they should be helping with some of those decisions. It is not up to the national office, even if that's something that has happened in the past, to go into any of the station's accounts or the affiliates' accounts or the, you know, archives and take money that we feel technically that, you know, quote unquote, that we're owed. That's just not my style of working, to, you know, go in and decide what needs to be taken from the stations. So I would never do that. So if the stations tell us that they can't afford it and we see their bank statements, they can't afford it.
Lyndon,
thank
for the
you
staff.
For that. I got you, Lyndon. I have a couple more quick questions myself. And I note that KPFA is now paying for the last couple weeks or so, month maybe, paying half of their central services. Is that based on, I'm hoping it is, but somehow I'm afraid it's not. Is that based on the central services formula that was passed at the PND that made an allowance for stations that were distressed to pay 8% of the 15% rate rather than the full 15%, which was supposed to be based on a determination by the PNB that that station is distressed? So is that why they're now paying 8%, or was that just another haphazard decision that's what was comfortable at the moment?
That was their decision. We were happy to receive central service payments, so I thanked them and moved on.
So nothing to do with the central services formula with the 8% distressed rate that we passed?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Thank you for that. And finally, I want to say, you know, all of this confusion, it really came out in the WBI budget, and there was a lot of finger-pointing about, you know, who's at fault and who's, you know, who's incompetent and who isn't. But I think it just sounds like there's general confusion in a lot of quarters, and we could do without the finger-pointing. And, you know, if we could just focus on sorting it out and rationalizing it for the future, that would be the better approach than to, you know, try and blame a unit or a national office or an employee. Just let's straighten it out. Let's stop with the back and forth. That's just my comment. That's not a question. So, Lyndon, I heard you.
Yes. thank you, Chair. When you started talking about, you know, who makes a decision on, you know, on central services, whether you're saying, hey, take it out of that loan that you took from us or not, it just kind of reminded me, well, who makes the decision that when you can't pay your tower rent, that you continue to pay consultants and do this year after year? Who makes that decision? And there's a lot of decisions that are made around here that aren't good business decisions. And you can't, and when it's been going on for 10 or 14 years, you can't say, I mean, we know what the problem is. It's just nobody's doing anything about it. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
No, I agree. And that's where some of the positives has been with having moving bank accounts into one central bank and having invoices for the consultants. And we're getting a lot of pushback from some of the consultants that have said, you know, I've never sent you an invoice in 15 years. Why do I have to do it now? You know, and then it becomes a multi-day going back and forth, you know, and telling them because we have policies and procedures now in place and we want to get a documentation, blah, blah, blah. You know, so that has helped, and we're paying, you know, we're paying bills of, you know, we have better control by working directly with the general managers or the business managers as to what bills are being paid, and we can prioritize what certain bills need to be paid, and we can talk to people who we owe money to also to let them know we're sending out a check on the 15th and the 30th of each month. You know, here's the PO number, that kind of thing. And so we can establish a better relationship rather than somebody just, you know, randomly running around and then paying somebody really quickly to get them off of their back. So it's giving us a much better grasp of the outlay of money.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm just going to add quickly that I think what Lyndon was saying about how things are decided, I agree with him 100%. And it goes to what I was saying earlier about let's not do the finger pointing. Let's fix this throughout the network and rationalize it going forward. And that's, I think, what Stephanie was just saying. And as Stephanie knows from our management meetings over the past year, I'm in agreement with all of those improvements. I heard Teresa.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I really agree with Lyndon. Unfortunately, I think that the change in the central services percentage has been used to kind of ignore the facts that sometimes when we are actually literally praising some stations for making payroll, we are totally ignoring the fact that they are ignoring some other bills that are just accruing and accruing and accruing. And we haven't gotten to the, I mean, so we're rearranging the chairs, but the PNB needs to work with the executive director to take whatever steps are necessary so we all thrive. Good point, Lyndon, and good point, Christina Huggins. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on the consolidated financials?
Beth would like to.
I hear you, Beth. Beth, let me see if there's anybody else. Anyone else? Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I realize that this has been the point of discussion here tonight, but I'm going to lay my questions out again because, honestly, it's still not clear to me. It would appear that KPFA Central Services are at least a couple of years and well over $400,000 behind, and that there have been three or four payments since the end of 2021, if I'm not mistaken. And those central services payments appear to be listed as both paid and unpaid, which would go a long way toward explaining our confusion and the fact that this has been let go as long as it has without being brought to light. So I guess I will be looking for further help in understanding that discrepancy. And beyond that, the practice of KPFA not to pay central services for years appears to be a unilateral decision by unit management at some level on the basis of their own authority without authorization from upper-level management or governance where budgets are supposed to be authorized. So I'm looking for clarification about how we got this far into this mess. It doesn't escape my attention that if we had had all these central services from KPFA in a timely manner when they were due, we would have had funds enough to cover the cost that of the elections that were postponed in 2022 and very likely avoided the litigation that resulted from that postponement. We would have had funds enough to cover the cost of the audits that are now so overdue again. This committee worked so hard to get audits caught up my first year on the committee. And because these funds were not available to Pacifica, we're now behind again. And there are an array of other things. The Allegiance bill, for instance, we could have been current on the Allegiance bill and had full access to rectify our database and meet our legal obligations to protect that database if we had had these funds in a timely manner. It seems odd to me that either upper management or governance would just defer to the unilateral judgment of local unit management to make this determination on their own. So I realize a lot of this has been touched on. Stephanie, if there's anything you can do to help me understand this more clearly, I would be grateful. I'm sure I'm not the only one with further questions. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if a lot of stations had paid their central services, we wouldn't have been in this mess as well. So at what point did the not paying central services no longer became a priority?
Christina,
if I might, in response to that,
go ahead.
Thank you. I understand why you can't get blood from a turnip. If there isn't any money, then the central services can't be paid. And I would, in looking at my own home station, KPFK, that station has been stripped of management, of personnel, for management for a couple of years, and now it's been on volunteer management for more than a year. Now we're being stripped of the facility itself. We were stripped of the telecommunications system. Someone was sent down from KPFA and disconnected everything and left it in a state of disrepair for well over a year. It took us to try to piece that back together. So it's not a mystery to me that we haven't been able to, and the membership was undermined by programmers who were allowed to on the air push one side of a political agenda without any comparable
point of order, Mr. Chair. Is there a question here?
excuse me.
Hold on, Beth. What is your point of order? What rules being broken?
Is there a question here for the executive director?
I'm going to call your point of order not well taken. People have made comments. They've had questions. But, Beth, I will ask you to try and wrap it up.
I appealed the decision of the chair.
Oh.
Question? The point of order is from who?
Teresa.
Thank you.
Point of order.
ED is giving me a report. I thought we were doing Q&A.
Teresa.
Precisely.
Beth and Teresa, please.
I just want the question.
We're not going to descend into chaos here. Please, everybody suspend. Arpal, did you get the point of order?
Yes, the point of order is there a question for the executive director? That's what I got.
Correct. And my ruling was that that's not well taken because several people have made statements, and we're not going to pick particular statements that we may not like and then call them out of order because there's not a question. There have been comments. There have been questions. People have gone on at some length with their comments and questions. So, again, I'm ruling that it's not a well-taken point of order. So, who else has anything to say about
do
that?
I get to speak?
Yeah, I would like to conclude my remarks. I'm not done.
Yes, Teresa, hold on. But there's a point of order, Beth. We have to deal with it. So, Teresa, you made the point of order, so you may speak. Beth, if you want to speak to the point of order, you may. Anyone else wants to speak to the point of order?
Point of information, Mr.
Linden
Chair. What is this? Speaking to a point of order? What are we talking about?
Well, you said before, if I make a ruling and then the ruling is appealed.
So there's an appeal now.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So I spoke and supported it. Teresa wants to speak, Beth, Lyndon, and who else?
I had already said my name for the stack.
Okay. Christina, when did you say
it? Christina. After Teresa, I said my name.
I didn't hear it, so I will take your word for it and put you in now. I will take your word for it and put it in after Teresa.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's go. Teresa, go ahead.
My point is this. If I said something and spoke at length and didn't get to a question, and I was kind of, in someone else's opinion, was browbeating the executive director, then they could call me out of order. Just because other people have done it, somebody else could have called them out of order. I'm calling Director Gunton out because I don't hear the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Okay, Christina.
Yes, I would take exception because it's a violation of Robert's Rules of Order to engage in personalities. And Ms. Von Gutten has repeatedly attacked KPFA management and is making absolutely provably false allegations about someone traveling to Los Angeles and taking apart their equipment. That is not true. I think that she is going on about attacking KPFA without supportable evidence of doing so. And Maria will give her report, and then she can describe exactly what was going on. But there's a lot of
Christina.
There's a lot of animus here, so I would like to ask the director.
Christina, the chair is speaking. Can you hear me? Thank you.
Yes.
You're supposed to be speaking to Teresa's point of order, which was that Beth was not asking a question, but making a commentary. You're straying quite far away from that. You're talking about other things.
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. And you are also, you have showed animus towards KPFA as well as chair. And I think that you interrupting Teresa and interrupting me is inappropriate for chair.
Christina, you must suspend. You are impugning people's motives, and that is a violation. Please do not do that.
I'm saying that she is, it's clear there's an animus she has shown before.
Well, that would be a separate point of order. That would be a separate point of order. Speak to this point of order, please.
This point of order is completely conversant and goes in accord with Teresa's point of order. She's making a statement and making a lot of false allegations, and it's completely inappropriate.
Teresa never mentioned false allegations. That would be a separate point of order. All right, let's move on. Lyndon? I'm sorry. No.
Teresa for the sack.
Point of order? Point of order?
Hold on a second. I have to get my order back here. Beth, what's your point of order?
Well, maybe our Paul can set me straight on this, but I understood that if we're debating a chair's ruling, one or two can speak for and one or two can speak against, but you don't take a stack and go down the list and spend the next half an hour till the meeting runs out debating.
No, that's not what we did last time. Everybody, the way that our Paul explained it was everybody speaks once. I tried to do the one speaks for, one speaks against. He said, no, everybody gets to speak once. So we're just doing what we did before. Is there anyone else who wants to speak?
Beth does.
Well, Lyndon
does. Go ahead, okay,
Larry,
I did hear.
You had called
on
me. This is Lyndon. You called on me.
I'll wait.
I was on the staff.
I'll wait.
Yes. Lyndon was next. That's correct.
Okay,
thank you. No argument. Go ahead.
Yep. Yes, I made a statement earlier. I didn't really ask a question. I made a statement. But my statement was based on what was on these pages. My statement wasn't based on what programmers did, 3 or 4 years ago at midnight, in Los Angeles. And it wasn't, my statements didn't have anything to do with phone people, people coming down, and changing phone systems. That is what I believe is way off the subject of what we're trying to talk about here today. And so I will vote to override the chair on this. Thank you.
Okay. And I appreciate your sentiment, Lyndon. I will just say that actually, and not unlike Christina, you made a different point of order, which may or may not be well taken, but it's not the point of order that Teresa made. But I understand your points. Okay, Beth.
Thank you. this committees are for the purpose of examining issues in detail, and therefore dialogue back and forth is permitted, is accommodated, has been accommodated in this meeting itself, where others have been critical of specific other stations and defensive of specific other stations. And I didn't interrupt any of that. I listened to all of that. This is the first time I've addressed the issue. And the point that I was making was that I understand when stations don't have it to give. When stations do have it to give, I don't see an explanation for that. I wasn't allowed to complete that point. It was specifically in response to the point that the executive director had made. This isn't a criticism of the executive director. It's a criticism of Pacifica governance and management that things get to this point. And it shouldn't be controversial for me to make that point from my perspective when I've sat and listened to everyone else here make that point from their own perspective.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth. All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Hearing none, R. Paul, can you restate the chair's ruling and then go to a vote?
Okay. Let's go back here. Okay, there's a point of order. Is there a question for the executive director? And chair said that point of order was not well taken because other people have made comments, and that was then appealed, and that's what we're on right now. Okay, so a yes vote is to uphold the ruling of the chair. A no vote is to go against the ruling of the chair. So shall the ruling of the chair be upheld? Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Linda Foley.
No.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt. Christina Huggins.
No.
Kim Kaufman. R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Okay. Julie Hewitt. Kim Kaufman. No answer. 5-4, 3 against.
Okay. I am going to caution all speakers to try not to get into too close to personnel issues where we get close to making statements that could identify individual employees. So,
Mr. Chair, I call for the yours of the day. Our half hour was up a long time ago.
Yes, R. Paul, you're absolutely correct. I was just about to say that. So we are now going to move on to number 8. This is a report from the executive director. Stephanie, we spoke earlier. You said you didn't have much of a report, but I suggested, you know, whatever report you'd like to give, or perhaps just take questions. We have 20 minutes for this. We don't have to take it all. And I do want to make a point to the committee that we do have, we need to move to executive session in order to approve executive session minutes. So in about 5 minutes, we're either going to need to decide to extend or we're going to need to move the agenda again.
Could I ask a fast question?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Are these consolidated income statement, is that finally allowed to be released?
Thank you very much for that question. Yes, it is. We forgot to do that last
Thank
time.
You.
Yes. They are. Thank you for that, Paul. Very good. So, Stephanie, any report or any comments you'd like to make? The floor is yours. You can, comment on anything you've heard tonight or anything else you have.
I have nothing new to report since last week.
That's what we decided, was mentioned earlier. So now I'm going to ask if there are anybody, does anybody have questions for Stephanie? Very good, Stephanie. You fielded a wide range of questions earlier. And
I'm sorry, James. I have one question.
Yes. Go ahead, Kamel.
Stephanie, has WPFW moved their bank account to Bank of America?
No.
Thank you.
How is everybody else doing with that, Stephanie? Is it still where it was?
Yeah. Everybody else has moved things over.
Except KPFA? Stephanie, I don't know if you heard me. I was asking, did KPFA move theirs over yet?
KPFA has not, no.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Stephanie?
Beth has a question.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, Stephanie, thanks. When can we expect that KPFA will move their bank account over to B of A? Thank you.
They are putting together, to my knowledge, a statement as to why they want to keep the majority of their funds in the bank that they have, trying to keep it local. They will make some sort of I would assume that their directors at some point will make a presentation to either the National Finance Committee or the board as to their reasons why they don't want to move over. But we have discussed moving over an account that's just for payroll. So we're working with them on that.
Follow-up question?
McFadden is a stack.
Go ahead, Beth. Then McFadden.
Thank you. Yes, and so the question is, whose call is it? Do they get to determine this on their own? Or is it the national governance or national management? Or where is that decision supposed to be made? Thank you.
There's so many layers here at Pacifica. It could be something I would imagine that is, you know, mandatory that they have to do, and that would come maybe from a motion from the National Finance Committee and then presented to the PNB. I'm really not too sure because there's so many parties involved in different decisions that are made. So I don't even know who would determine how that would happen. But the request was made, and they want to present their reasons why not.
I'm going to put myself on the stack just for a brief moment, if you'll allow that, McFadden.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm going to put myself on the stack after you, McFadden. Go ahead.
Stephanie, since the issue is having the national office have oversight on various bank accounts at all the banks, so you can kind of track of things and actually have these consolidated financials all represent what's actually going on. If it's in a local bank and it becomes a problem, is it this local bank won't allow you to have access so you can look at the account to keep that supervision available? Is it this bank just won't allow that?
The bank would have no problem with it. We would just need to be granted access from the station.
Okay, so why don't we just get that access granted? You should ask the general manager for that access. You know, this is your job at the national office. It just seems like this shouldn't be a problem at all.
Right.
Are they resisting? Are they resisting giving you that access?
Sometimes, yes.
Well, that seems odd. You know, what's going on that they don't want the PNB and our executive director to know what's in those accounts?
this is a very strange situation. I mean, we're supposed to have, you know, a set of books that are open, that are transparent. I don't understand why management at KPFA would be doing this. This seems really, really strange. It seems to me that you should be bringing this issue to the PND. You know, this ought to
Christina
be brought
for the staff.
Christina, I got you, but I'm next, and we're going to have a motion to extend. McFadden, are you done with your question? You're breaking up a little bit.
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, Stephanie,
this
do you want to
have you recognized?
Lyndon, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you want
to
be recognized?
I will move to extend.
Okay. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yes, I move to extend for 5 minutes.
Lyndon, I'm going to ask you before someone has to amend, could we make it 15 minutes because we still have to get the updates on when we're going to receive budget from 2 years?
I can make it,
yes.
I will move to extend for 15 minutes.
Thank you very much, Lyndon.
Mr. Chair, does this extend the meeting too?
Yes, Lyndon, could you make that the meeting and the item?
And the meeting, all encompassing.
So let's extend the meeting from 10:15 to 10:30. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Thank you all, and thank you, Lyndon. And Lyndon, did you want to be on the stack also to speak?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so let me go back to, Beth, you already spoke on this item, so let me let Lyndon go, and then I'll come back to you, Beth.
I thought I was going to be after you, James. But I can go ahead.
I thought it was
James.
Christine was in there. Christine was in there before me, too. That's right.
Yeah, oh, Christine is there, too. You're right. Okay, so let's go. Go ahead, Christina.
May I comment real quickly, just in response?
Oh, of course. Yes, of course, Stephanie.
Yeah. Any time that I need to put in the bank statements, which is in the ED report to the PNB, I usually put cash on hand that day, including the payroll account. The staff at KPFA, the business manager at KPFA, always, when giving her ample notice, they do send a nice detailed report of cash in the bank and outstanding payables and available money. So they do reply when we are requesting that information.
Who is the they there, Stephanie, the bank or the management?
The business manager at KPFA.
Thank you. Okay, Christina.
Yes, I would note that Mr. McFadden is publicly attacking KPFA management, which is appropriate only because of the personnel issue to be done in closed session. I would also ask Stephanie, my understanding from what she said is they are actually appealing the decision. They're not refusing. It's very different refusing than appealing a decision. And I really take umbrage at the fact that he is implying nefarious activities here. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. Lyndon.
Point of personal privilege.
Go ahead, McFadden.
Since I was directly mentioned, I didn't imply any nefarious actions. I just replied that they need to do what needs to be done in an organization like this, which is to have full transparency. And, you know, it seems like the excuse has been they want to keep a local bank. Well, the local bank issue doesn't seem to be a problem, since the issue is just to have transparency at the national office. It doesn't apply anything nefarious at all. It just applies, let's stop talking about it being a local bank versus Bank of America issue. Let's just get the oversight by the executive director. Sounds like it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. We don't have to go through the hassle of opening a new account at Bank of America and to have that kind of supervision. So there's nothing nefarious at all, and I resent that any director or any secretary or treasurer, anybody else, would accuse me of that. You know, and I expect
point of information. Point of information.
Please don't interrupt the speaker. Go ahead, McFadden. Finish your remarks.
I expect an apology for that kind of accusation. It's just totally out of place. You know, to
point of information.
Do
not interrupt the speaker with a point of information. That's not allowed. Wait till he's done.
He asked for an apology, and I'm responding.
Wait till he's done. Please finish, McFadden.
I thought he was. Did you have more to say? I thought he was done.
No, I had more to say. You know, I don't like these public attacks. You know, I've experienced these for the last 5 years, and I'm just tired of it. You know, these kind of public attacks on me need to stop. And the people that do these attacks, you know who they are. And I just experienced another one from somebody who's done this in the past. So please stop them. Apologize. All I did was point out what needs to be done and the facts. I didn't mention any names. There was no nefarious issues mentioned. This is just a business decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I would like to respond.
Okay, first, I would like you to ask to be recognized, and you said you had
an inquiry. I said I respond. Isn't that asking to be recognized?
Well, the correct way is may I be recognized, but go ahead. And hold on. We have other people on the stack. So if you're asking to be recognized, will you please stop interrupting? I will ask you to either make an inquiry, a point of information, as you were asking earlier, or get on the stack. Well, then you can get on the stack because there's other people waiting to speak.
Oh, that's not right. He asked me to apologize, and he attacked me just now.
You can apologize when your turn comes. Christina, please don't speak out again. You can speak and apologize or do whatever else you want to do when you come up on the stack. So now Lyndon is on the stack now, Christina. Please. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I would say the director who is asking about who has the authority or who has to ask who about moving bank accounts is hitting on the right thing, and that is we need our executive director to have the power to make things happen. And it has more to do than just moving bank accounts. She has to have the power to go into these units and tell them this has to be cut, this has to be cut. And frankly, she needs more power than that. And I'll say that in executive session if we get there. Thank you.
Thank you, Lyndon. Beth.
I don't think I was actually on the stack. Thanks.
Okay, I thought you were. Christina.
Yes, Mr. McFadden has been formally censured by our board for making false statements about our management team, publicly and in an article.
Christina, please suspend for a moment. You're not supposed to make comments and address people by name.
Excuse me, Chair. He asked me personally for an apology, and I'm stating that there is a pattern of behavior I'm calling out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
This is Beth. Now I do want on the stack. Thank you.
Oh, God. I was hoping we could get on with this.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
I can be brief.
What is your point of information, Teresa?
Question is this section of the meeting being timed? I thought when we extended 15, maybe we should have limited this portion so we can get on to the other. We're using up all the other time for the rest of the meeting on this, I think. So, is there no time limit on this section of the meeting?
There was no time that we extended for 15 minutes.
Can we maybe do something like close the stack or something?
I've been hoping each time that the stack is closing. So let's just try to get through the speakers, and then hopefully we can move on. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Financial oversight, policy, and fiscal duty is the legal purview of directors, not local management of any individual unit. It's the responsibility of the NFC to see to it that these lines of authority, these channels of authority, are clear, well-defined, and upheld. It's absolutely appropriate that these questions be asked here. This is the place for it. This is what this committee is for. So thank you.
Thank you. Now I'm going to take my turn at the stack, and then we'll move on. I wanted to point out, and I believe I'm correct, somebody please correct me if I'm mistaken, the PNB passed a resolution declaring that the banking of Pacifica was going to be moved to one facility, to one bank, and it was all going to be consolidated there. And extraneous bank accounts were going to be closed, extraneous credit cards were going to be discontinued, and we're going to have one set of banking coming out of one bank where it can be observed and the executive director can have access. So I don't think, you know, unless somebody wants to rescind that motion, I don't think there's any appeal process from that motion where a station can carve out a special dispensation for themselves. That was the motion of the PNB. Now, you know, we have a new PNB. Let's see what they want to do with this. But Stephanie, I'm saying I don't think, you know, negotiating with them on this is necessarily the best policy. The PNB made a policy decision, and it should be being enforced as it has been at other units. All right. And Stephanie, if you want to answer that, that's fine. If you don't, it's okay. We can roll on here.
A motion is a motion, but, you know, I can't go in and force a closure of a bank account. So if they're going to appeal, then they will appeal. And I am trusting that their also directors will make that point at a PNB meeting.
Thank you. Yes. If they want to appeal, it should be in the form of a motion at the PNB to have some other resolution. Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, let's now go to item number 9. This is a quick update. We know that the executive director will be getting the national office budget when they have all of the unit budgets so that they can make their judgments and estimates. So does anyone from WPFW have any new information for us on how that budget is coming along?
James, I do not. I know that the executive director and I need to connect. We made brief plans to do that. Life got in the way, so we intend to, at least I intend to reach out after this meeting to try and get that done.
Thank you for that, Kamau. We learned last time that you were making a lot of efforts in that direction, so we thank you for that. Okay, that brings us to item number 10, which is move into executive session.